we Ahzab, half of Surah Ahzab. Just a brief recap, what we did discuss on it, we barely discussed anything on it. Surah Al-Ahzab is a Madani surah. It was revealed in Medina Munawwara. Ahzab refers to the Battle of Khandaq, the Battle of the Trenches. That was the last effort of the mushrikeen of Arabia, not just Mecca, of Arabia. The last effort they made to wipe out Islam. It was that very same battle wherein the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims, they were very perplexed. They did not know what they will do. Why? Because you had an army of over 10,000-15,000 mushrikeen coming. You were very little in number. They couldn't go out to fight them, because if they went out to fight them, what would happen to the women and children in Medina Munawwara? But what do you do? How do you protect your city? He said, in Persia they would do. And he told them to dig a trench, a huge, so that they can't have to. And once they enter the trench, there's a complete moment of weakness. You can do what you want with them. That is why when Abu Sufyan, who was not a Muslim as yet, when he saw that, he said, this trickery is not known to us as Arabs. We've never seen something like this before. Anyway, so in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that. Allah ta'ala speaks about the betrayal of the Jewish community. You see, the Jews in Medina Munawwara, they had a pledge with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had a pact that we will defend you against your enemies and you will defend us against our enemies. And what does the qawm do? Well, you all know what they do, right? I don't even need to go and say it. They did what we expected them to do. They went and betrayed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims. So that's one. The second enemy were the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. So they basically said, إِنَّ بُيُوتَنَا عَوْرَةً وَمَا هِيَ بِعَوْرَةً إِنْ يُرِيدُونَ إِلَّا فِرَارَةً. As the battle is about to start, the rows are being formed. They could turn around and say, you know what, no one is looking after our family members. We can't stand here, we need to look after our family members. And they turned their back and they went back home. It was a very difficult time. Disperse. He made the mushrikeen disperse. He sent a severe cyclone. And that cyclone literally made them, you know, they said, we can't deal with this. We didn't come here to deal with this. Just leave it. Let's go back to Mecca. And the tribes eventually dispersed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, we do what we have to. Whether the odds are for, we not what I'll do or I won't, will not issues. We want to put out to turn around. The situation we are facing right now as well. It's very easy for you and I to turn a blind eye to what's going on over there. It's very easy as a masjid for the committee to call the local councillor who, when it came to the voting of the ceasefire, he said no. When it came to condemning Israel, blocking humanitarian aid, blocking water, blocking electricity, he ticked no. But to tick one, two boxes and to, you know, lick their boots. MashaAllah, I don't know, I'm not doing the committee, alhamdulillah, they're not doing it here. This isn't about the committee here. You all know who I'm talking about. There are masajid within our communities that are doing it. And ask yourselves, ask the committee, mashallah, chairman is here, committee there, they're all here. Ask them, well and truly put, when the money was required for here, the work, it was you. When you had to stay up at night and wonder how you're going to put the next £10,000 down because five creditors have called, who worried about it? Was the councillor here worried about it? Wasn't. Tomorrow when something happens to us as Muslims, who cares? Yes, they make one, two statements, but does anything happen about it? So what faida is it in calling them? The only thing you have done is you have sold yourself, you have sold your deen, you have sold your messenger, and you have sold your Allah out. That is the only thing you have done. Nothing else. And this surah speaks about that. Do what you have to do. Don't bend over backwards for people who don't care about you. I'm not saying don't be kind. Be kind. Be nice. Help where you can. But this platform here isn't for someone, politician, to come and recruit the Muslims to come and say, oh, you know what? MashaAllah. He'll come and say, Assalamu alaikum as well. MashaAllah, we get very carried away. Oh, he says, Assalamu alaikum. You know, hey, what a good man. Say, Assalamu alaikum. And then after that, he killed 500 of your own children. Remember, 2 days ago, how many died? 500. How many of them were children? 174, 194. How many children are here? How many children in our community? Don't forget that, right? Every Ramadan, without fail, every Ramadan, this happens. Without fail, whether there was a war going on or not a war going on, every Ramadan, without fail, these shayateen, they come and kill our children. And somehow we seem to forget every year as well. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 10 times and I'm the biggest idiot on the surface of this earth. Right? I think it's quite fair. Anyway, this surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many, many ahkam. Amongst them are the rulings that are applicable to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then there is also the respect of Qulillahi uswatun hasana. النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. All these ayat are mentioned to teach us that we need to respect Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah Ta'ala says ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم. Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is not a father of any of you. That refers to the adopted son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Zayd radiallahu anhu, Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu, was a slave. He was taken as a slave unjustly, meaning he was kidnapped as a child and he was then sold as a slave. He was then given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his wife Khadija radiallahu anha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set him free and took him as his adopted. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had him married off to Zainab radiallahu anha. However, Zainab radiallahu anha and Zayd radiallahu anhu, they were not getting along. They couldn't get along at all. You know, the temperaments they had were far too different. So eventually he divorced her. When he divorced her, Allah Ta'ala told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, marry Zainab radiallahu anha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like, but you know, that's my son. And even if he's not my son, if I marry him, what will the people say? They say that Muhammad is marrying his son's wife. You know, the disgrace, the things. So Allah Ta'ala, he mentioned multiple ahkam. Number one, your adopted son is not your son. If you adopt a child, that child does not become yours. They will not inherit from you. You will not inherit from them. Yes, mashallah, you are looking after them. That is an orphan. You are looking after an orphan. You will be rewarded abundantly. But that is not your child. Number two, you can marry, obviously depending on the gender, etc. You can marry that child. And number three, مَا كَانَ Right, the ayah basically says that when Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam decrees I to argue with the decree of Allah, and in respect of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on this point, Imam Hanifa mentioned something very, very interesting.